Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Good evening. We're a little late getting everybody started because we're having technology difficulty here, but we're going to go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity to come together and to study your word. Lord, we pray that you would just be with us. We know that the devil's trying to be busy to go let start it going forward, but that's because we're just going to be getting into Ephesians this night, and we're just going to expound on your word. In your precious name we do pray. Amen. So we're going to start with Ephesians 1. Ephesians 6 happens to be one of my favorites, that's why. And Ephesians 1, beginning at the first chapter, verses 1, it begins, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we go on to the third voice where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen. When you consider what that verse is saying, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Can you hear me? take us just a moment to let the technical difficulty. But when you consider what that verse is, according as he has chosen us and well, before the foundation of the world. The fact is, think about the fact that God has chosen us before the foundation of the world. Yes, you know, what does that say to you?
Well, it means that he basically chose us, that he loved us that much, that he wants us to be the foundation of the world, which means that he wants us to go out and be ambassadors for him to bring others to Christ.
When you consider the fact, when you go back into the Old Testament, and you think about the fact that the Israelites were the chosen generation, and here it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So that even goes back to even before Adam and Eve were created. God had a plan for man, and he created man in his own image and likeness, that man should be in a certain way. That man should be created in a certain way and framed, and then sin came into play. What's your thought on that? Share with me. Well, go on, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Is that possible?
It is possible. I mean, it was more possible in the beginning before sin came into the world. So when he created us a foundation, we were holy, we were perfect, but then we introduced sin into the world. And so at that point, it's still possible, but we have to crucify our flesh every day, which is not, and that's not our natural state.
So you mean to tell me that before the world was created, God created us to be holy and without blame before him in love?
Right.
So then sin came into the picture.
Right.
Okay, but then looking at verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What does that say to you?
According to the good pleasure of his will. Well, his will was for us to be perfect.
Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself.
That means that Jesus died for us so that we would be able to be close to him again. That's why Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And that's how we've been purified through the blood of Jesus.
So Paul is letting us know then that it is possible to be holy and blameless before God. But it was only through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through what he did on the cross, he suffered, bled, and died to bring us back into the right relationship with God. So when you think about that, that we were created in the beginning, even before the world was made, to be holy and blameless, shaped in the image and the likeness of God. But then sin came into play and messed it up.
That's why they say Jesus saved us.
Okay, so then how can we get back in that right relationship?
The key word is relationship. So we have to have that relationship with the Lord. We have to allow the Lord to lead us in everything that we do. What we tend to want to do is like, okay, Lord, we want to do what you say. So I say Christian. Okay, Lord, we want you to help me with this. I want you to be in this part of my life. But this part of my life, you can leave that alone because I got it. But to be holy and under him truly is in every facet of our life. Yes.
So then you say that I'm saved, that doesn't mean that I'm holy or I'm perfect?
No, we're not perfect.
Righteous?
There's none righteous but the Lord.
So then how do we get that right relationship with God?
We have to be obedient to God.
But why don't we?
Because of free will. God is not going to force us to be that way. But we have, the Lord wants us to do that and wants us to be that, to show our love for him and to have that relationship with him. But he is not going to force it on us. We have to make that choice. And the reason we're not is because we choose not to. That's what I was saying before. It's like we want to be obedient in certain areas, but we want ourselves to be in control in other areas, and that's how we end up getting in trouble.
Okay, so then as followers of Christ, we need to understand then that we have been chosen by God to be the adopted of Christ. We've been adopted into the family of God. And once we become a part of that family, we should strive to be all that we can be in Christ. Understanding that it's only by God's grace and his mercy that we are able to function in the will of God. What is the will of God for us? That we should walk humbly before him.
Right.
That we should live a certain kind of life before him.
Right. And that we don't yield to temptation. But I do have a question, because someone asked me a couple of days ago. They said we're saved by grace.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what does grace mean? And doesn't that mean that we didn't get what we deserve, which would be not to live?
So what's the question?
What exactly does that word grace mean?
The unmerited favor of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, he doesn't give us what we deserve.
Because we deserve, well, although some people think they deserve to get the world, but what we truly deserve is not what God has given us, which is eternal life.
Okay.
A second chance.
All right. But see, God is the kind of God, and out of his unconditional love, he continues to give us that second chance. But if we were to get what we don't deserve, it wouldn't be that unconditional love. So then, grace gives us a second chance. So then, what about when we're raising our kids? Should we give? Give our kids, or do we give our kids a second chance?
We do. Now, even when they don't deserve it, we give them first, second, third. Somebody said here, sometimes we give them 5, 6, 7, 8. And what they don't deserve, that chance. So it's us giving them grace because we're still allowing them
to live.
We're not killing them. Although for some things they do, we need to kill them. Just wipe them off and start over. But we allow them to live even though they deserve otherwise. So it's the same type of thing. I guess that's what you're trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, suppose God treated us the way we just said.
Right. Just wipe it off. Right. So he gives us a second chance, which is not what we deserve.
Mm-hmm. But now suppose, just suppose, if you think about it from the beginning of time, from the beginning of mankind, when the first sin came into the world, and I've often wondered, why didn't God just wipe the slate clean and say, start over again?
Because of grace.
Because of grace.
Right.
And because he had a plan for mankind, just like he said, he was, we were predestined.
Mm-hmm.
God had already predestined us to be a certain kind of individual,
right.
And because of free will. But then I come back and I think about it, well, suppose he hadn't given us free will.
Then we would have continued to be what we were predestined to do. But that's how he loved us. He didn't want to force us. He didn't want us to be robots. He wanted that. He created us to be loving. So that's why he gave us the free will, because he wanted a family. I mean, we say that, like we're going back to the analogy of our children, that, yes, we want them to obey us. Yes, we want them to listen to us, but we also want them to have their own personality.
But then when they use that personality, we try to kill them.
True. And or we, if you're married, you say, well, he's acting like you, or you're like, she's acting like you. You point to the other parent to say, it's your fault.
Okay, so but does it take away from what God had originally designed man to be? And in order to get back to that, it's time for mankind to realize that, you know, life is nothing to play with. You know, we got a call the other night about a 28-year-old young man who passed away on Monday, 28 years young. And yet people don't seem to understand that, you know, this whole thing of God and life and death is real. And yet we play with life, we play with God, we act like God is our own little personal errand boy, that when we need something, we call on him, but then when we get what we want and we've had enough, then we put him back up on the shelf. So with our children, it's the same sort of thing. You know, our kids will take us to the brink, but yet, although we didn't predestine them, but God did.
Right.
And out of the love that came into play, but we can't put them back up there and send them back.
Right.
So it's the same sort of analogy. God won't send us back,
right.
So he puts up with us.
Right.
And all of the junk that we are into.
Right.
But then what we don't understand is that when you play with God, you're going to pay.
Right. There's always consequences.
There's always consequences. But it doesn't take away from the fact that God intended for mankind to be holy and blameless from the beginning.
Right. Amen.
So we have to understand then that we have been chosen by God.
Right.
And as we grow in the knowledge of who our God is, we begin to understand this whole business of loving God as he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he has chosen us and he's predestined us unto his family, according to the good pleasure of his will. And his will is for us to live holy.
Right.
But, again, he gives us that free will.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to us as to whether or not we do. So then if we got all that together, then as verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace.
Mm. Now we know what grace is. So, yeah, praise the glory of his grace, because that's what saves us.
Okay. So that means we ought to praise him. We ought to
yes.
be thanking him.
Yeah.
And every time when we wake up and we think about all that we could have been and all that we're not,
right.
and we think about that grace,
right.
and the fact that grace has covered us once again,
mm-hmm.
that we ought to be giving God the praise.
Right.
And the fact that he doesn't give us what we rightly deserve.
And you find that a lot, especially when people have gone through something in life, where their life has taken a really tough and bad path. And then they come to themselves and they come to the Lord, and the Lord forgives them, and then they start drawing closer to the Lord. And when they look back at their lives, when they were out there in the world, whether they're doing drugs, drinking, hanging out, what have you. I know I was in college, and there were some things that I look back now, and I'm like, Lord, you really watched over me, because there's times that I should have been gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't. Because I took the risk. So I've deserved, because I took the risk going against his word, I deserve not to make it. But he allowed me to make it. And that's when you really see his grace and how he blessed you and had his covering over you.
Okay, but even though still made, there were still consequences that
yes.
you had to live through.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we may be, quote-unquote, the elected of God, the children of God, and even when you think about the Israelites, as long as they obeyed God, they were fine. But when they turned their back on him and refused to follow his instruction, they had to pay certain consequences. Right. Their lives were in turmoil. So in, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Mm-hmm. So what did they talk about this?
Wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved as far as accepted unto him.
Unto him. Think about it. That's awesome when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
God continues to accept us
as we are.
As we are.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't find fault with us. He doesn't judge us, although the day of
judgment
will
coming.
But he continues to love us and covers us with that grace.
Which means that when things aren't going right, then we must be, not all the time, but sometimes it's because what we've done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily what he wants for us, but it's like you said, if we do things that go against his will, then he can't always protect us from bad things happening.
Well, he could.
He could, but he won't.
He wants us to understand and to learn. And the best way for us to learn is to actually go through some of those situations where when we get our behinds whipped enough, then we're going to come to the realization that this thing is real.
Yes, amen.
And I think it's something that when you think about it, and you're talking about Paul again. Paul had to learn. Paul was one of the ones we talked about to the Philippian church.
Mm-hmm.
Paul had to be shown that he couldn't play with God, that his hands were too short to box with God.
Right.
And that's the way it is with all of mankind. You know, we accept him, I think, most times out of an emotional surge or whatever you want to call it. We get to thinking about it. Something happens on the inside, we get to boo-hooing, thinking about our lives and the fact that we need a change and we need to know. So we go, we accept him, we let him in.
Mm-hmm.
But then we won't do the thing
right.
that it takes to continue to grow in the body of the Lord.
That relationship.
So in order to have that right relationship, you've got to have a good prayer life.
Right.
And it's got to be more than, Lord, I'm in trouble again. Or, Lord, I need you.
Right.
Oh, Lord, gimme, gimme, gimme.
Yeah.
Along with that, in order to have that right relationship, you've got to be in the Word.
That's right.
Everything that we need is in the Word.
That's right.
But we're either too lazy or too busy to get into the, I don't have time.
Hello.
Ouch. Go on.
It's true. It's true. And not realizing that even if you don't know where a scripture is, sometimes just knowing the gist of it
mm-hmm.
can help you get through.
Okay.
You know, when you're really, really going through, if you just know, I will bless the Lord at all times, his
praise
shall continually be in my mouth. There's something about your situation. It doesn't change, but you change.
Right.
Your whole perspective, your whole attitude, your whole mindset is, okay, I can do this.
Well, that's because God gives you the strength. We talked about in Philippians where it says, I can do all things
that's
through
another,
Christ
that's another.
Who strengthened us. Through Christ and Jesus.
That's right.
So if Jesus is there strengthening us, then why won't we take the time to draw closer to him?
You know, we were just talking about that a few minutes ago about how, you know, people take more interest in their job and their work and work harder for the job and for work than they work will for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And not realizing that if they work harder for the Lord, the job and everything else will fall into place.
Hello. And life would not be as hard as it is.
That's right.
Look at verse 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now, basically, that's talking about everything we've been talking about. Now, Christ continues to redeem us. He continues to watch over us. He continues to provide for us. He continues to do all the things that we need him to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, when it comes time for us, we don't have time.
We don't have time. Right? And when you think of that verse 7 is pretty powerful, that he made that sacrifice for us, but we can't sacrifice our time.
Mm-hmm.
we can't sacrifice some of the things that we put before him.
Okay.
You know, we were talking about the other day, we were on the way to church, and it was nice out. And how many people were out there that time of the morning washing their car?
Cousin Graham.
And it's like, wait a minute, do you not know where that car and that grass that you're cutting came from?
Mm-hmm.
Did you even stop for 2 seconds to say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have it?
Hello.
Somebody said they, from WSIC said they know where the water comes from.
But look at that right there. It says, we have redemption through his blood.
That's powerful.
Now, without the shedding of his blood,
mm-hmm.
there would have been no redemption.
Right.
Now, we just got through celebrating the resurrection of Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all that, and I thank God for Resurrection Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we fall back into that old thing that, you know, we forget all about God. We don't really think about this thing. And again, we have to grow up in the body of Christ. And we don't want nobody to talk about us or to tell us,
yeah.
you know what, you need to do this,
follow
you need to do that. I mean, I'm counseling folk now and telling them that they need to step out on faith
right.
to find the peace that God has them.
Right.
But, you know, we make up in our own minds that we can do certain things, that, you know, we can fix the situations, we can handle the relationships, we can do everything that we need to do. I mean, for the longest time, I was robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Hmm, right.
And I tell folks that I didn't understand that God had already said it in the Word.
Yeah.
That if you give him his 10%,
right,
he'll take care of the rest.
Yes, he does.
But we'll go rob Peter to pay Paul, and then we'll go borrow some gas money to put in our car.
Right. Right.
Or we'll go without some food because we don't have any money. I've gotten older now, and I look back over all the stupidness that I did and how I lived my life growing up. I was in Christ. I was going to church, but I just hadn't become mature.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you think about the fact that we have been redeemed
right.
through his yeah, blood.
That's right.
I didn't go up on no cross with nobody. You didn't go up on no cross with nobody.
Your job.
Hello.
Your car. The house.
The water.
The dog. The children.
The cat.
Redeemed through his blood. And I think too often we forget that.
We
take the Lord for granted.
We
take God for granted. We take all that Jesus does for granted.
Yeah, he did.
Because of the flesh, because we're in this set mindset, not that I can do all things through Christ,
mm-hmm.
but it's all about me, mine. Trilogy.
It's like, it's about how I can, it's I, instead of we, including the Lord. It's like I can do through Christ, all things through Christ when I need him.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lord, I want you to be there. I want you to handle this for me, and now I want you to go back over there because now I got it from here. And then we create that vicious circle of robbing Peter to pay Paul, or, you know, for some reason I'm not fulfilled with my work. I'm not everybody is like just bothering me. But that's because you put God on a shelf, or you put him in your back pocket
mm-hmm.
to pull him out when you need him, not realizing that you need him all the time.
Yep.
And he knows you're going to need him, and because he knows you're going to need him, his son died on the cross for us. So it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
It is right there. He has your life right there. But like you said, he's not going to force it on you.
No, he's not.
And so you have the option every day to either listen to that natural man
mm-hmm.
or listen to Christ, even when it doesn't make sense. Understanding that none of us knows about tomorrow if tomorrow comes. So it's better to rely on God who knows the full plan than just relying on me who just kind of knows what I quote-unquote want but don't know if that's really what I need.
Okay. And I think we were talking on Sunday, during Sunday school, that because God does have a plan for each of us, but he's not going to reveal that plan to us.
Right.
Because, number one, we're just not ready, and we're not capable of understanding all that he does. To be honest with you, I still don't understand how God works. Lord says in his word that my ways are not like your ways.
Right.
His
timing is not like our time.
Right.
So when he does something, we may think that, you know, he's late, but in God's own timetable, he's right on time.
Right.
So he redeemed us
right.
through his blood.
Voila.
The forgiveness of sin.
Forgiveness.
Think about that for a minute. He forgave our sin. He continues to forgive
mm-hmm.
our sin.
Mm-hmm. According to the riches of his grace, there's grace again.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we deserve is not to be forgiven.
So then why can't we learn to forgive?
It's all about
Here's
us.
Another subject.
Emotion.
Okay.
Because we allow our emotions to get in the way. So that's why if somebody comes up against you, you're so ready, quick to ready to lash out instead of saying, okay, I'm not going to react emotionally. I'm going to pray for you. And prayer for thee, you'll either get it together or God will reveal to me how I need to come at you to tell you my perspective. Too often we get into disagreements, and you just look at our country. Look at the countries that are fighting amongst
mm-hmm.
each other. It's all about this is what I want, this is how I want, and so we don't forgive each other. And they're fighting for stuff that their ancestors did 200 years ago. You look at what's going on with the racism in this country.
Mm.
That is stuff that started way back when, and we're still talking about it now? Still have people that have that slave mentality? Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And so again, we have to forgive, not lash out, take a step back, and allow the Lord the right way to do things.
You know, you mentioned that coming home the day on the Beltway. I didn't share this with you, but there were two cars getting ready to pull into the third lane from the right together. And when they finally realized that the other was getting ready to come in, they both pulled back over there. But then they were giving fingers and throwing words back and forth. And one car that was in there, I think it was a gray car, he then rolled down his window and threw something at the red car.
See?
And then pulled up and sped up. And then I watched the red car get into the lane that he was in and try to follow him. And I stayed back. I said, now, just in case
right.
something happens, I want to be able to stop, get out of the way. And that's the kind of stuff that we're confronted with every day.
Right.
As you mentioned, through our emotions. But yet, this is the kind of stuff that we were redeemed through the blood of Christ for.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, we don't know how. We don't seem to be able to forgive and forget all about it, let it go. How often in our relationship?
You go a whole week without talking to the person.
In the same house.
In the same house. And not realizing that person could be taken away from you the next day.
Hello.
Then what?
Hello.
Well, is it worth it? Because
mm-hmm.
you argued over somebody drank the last drop of tea. You know? You know, it's like when you put it in perspective, it's not worth it. And even on our jobs, you know, with my job, I've worked with a lot of corporate people and executives, and some of them are very arrogant, and they, you know, they don't know how to accept the fact when they're wrong. So they'll argue their point, and you just look at them like, you know, you're not right, but you can't yell, say a prayer, and find another way to show that they're in the wrong, but it's
mm-hmm.
because of those egos, those emotions, those that you can't see straight because
we still have redemption.
We as Christians have to go beyond these walls, and we have to live a life. You know, you never know. Those two cars that you saw,
mm-hmm.
I bet you both of them go to church someplace.
No.
But so we have to, as ambassadors for Christ, have to allow people to see us and see how we handle things so they'll say, oh, you know what? I want some of that. I want to be able to be calm in a difficult situation. So we have to go out and spread the word. And don't just spread the word and leave it there, but show people that it's not just going to church on Sunday. It's living a life. There's too many people in ministry There's too many people in the church that say one thing, but when you look at their lives, they're not really ambassadors for Christ. So how can you say I'm ambassador for Christ when you're not Christ doing what Christ wants you to do?
Okay. So we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. So here we are again. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to be followers of the Lord. But my question is, what is it going to take for mankind to wake up?
I'm sure a lot of people woke up this week when all those storms. Because that is, they can't put that on man. They can't say that man did it. They can't say the dog did it. They can only pray that God will help them through that situation. And that's the power. That is the power. That's like one of those things. Man always wants to explain.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's logical. Things have to make sense. So sometimes God allows things to happen so that they can see that, see, not everything. You can't explain and you can't do, and you're not in control of everything.
Amen. I think that's the key right there. We want to be in control. But like you said, there are things that we just can't control. We can't control life. We can't control death.
Okay.
But what we can control is how we live our lives supposedly for the body of Christ,
right.
How we react, how we are supposed to live our lives as Christians. And you mentioned about the church. In the church is one of the ways and one of the things that people really need to take a look at. You know, we talk a good game
right.
in the church,
mm-hmm.
but even people in the church are some of the most honoring, they're evil, they're split, they're sneaky, selfish, and they need much prayer.
Right.
And they put on a front or foe that
mm-hmm.
they're all holy and righteous. So we've got to get back to the point where we understand that we have been redeemed. We have been bought and paid for with a price. And that price was the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For the forgiveness of our sins, if Christ hadn't forgiven us, or if God hadn't forgiven us through what Jesus did,
mm-hmm.
there would have been no forgiveness. According to the riches of his grace. What do we mean, riches of his grace?
It's abundance.
Abundance of his grace.
Yes.
So that word grace, again, that covers us.
Yes.
That means he has a large abundance that covers us for all of our sins that we've committed, the ones that we continue to commit,
right.
and those that we're going to commit.
Right.
Is that right?
So that's why it's rich. You have to be rich with grace, not a patient.
I am a lot of patience. So then what does it say to us? What is Paul trying to teach us here in Ephesians?
Bring us back to the realization of what God has done for us and how we were created for him
mm-hmm.
and how much he loves us, that even though we became sinful people, we weren't created to be that in the beginning, but he's still given us a way out, even though sin came into our world.
Okay, so then we need to take a look at self. We need to do some self-examination and understand that God wants us to continue to be holy. We can be holy,
mm-hmm.
but we need to do a spiritual checkup, so to speak, to ask ourselves and to check ourselves to see whether or not we actually measure up to what the Lord would have us to be. So what does it mean to be holy? How can we be holy?
We're basically set apart. We're basically
set apart. Stop right there, set apart. What does that word mean? Set apart.
We have to be different than the world.
Different from the world. Different
right.
how?
We have to be more humble. We have to be more Christ-like. We have to be more what Jesus would be. It's close to being following what Jesus would be than we are following what Satan would want us to be, or
okay.
how he wants us.
So
that's why we have to crucify our flesh every day, because our natural man is not to be like Christ.
Okay. So then on Thursday evenings, when I really don't feel like being at Bible
study, we should be at Bible study anyway, because, again, that's where we get the fuel and the understanding of how to handle when Satan and his imps come at us, so that you know like what we're saying now, is like when you've done something really bad and you feel undeserving,
mm-hmm.
that you can go to Christ and say, you know what, Lord, I know I was wrong. And I know I shouldn't have done that, but please forgive me. But you can't learn those things until unless you're in the Bible. We were just talking about Job not too long ago, how he went through everything he went through, but because he stayed faithful, I was talking to Jessica about it this morning, because he stayed faithful, God allowed him to go what he went through, but because he stayed faithful, he got twice as much as what he had before. But had he followed the directions of his friends, his wife, and everybody else were like, give up on God, he would not have received the blessings in the end. And so we receive the blessings because of the redemption. And if you come to Bible study, you can see that. But if you don't, it's not going to be, and it's not something that you can just hear one time and I got it, let's go. You have to, it's just like school, you have to keep learning about it. And every time you study God's word, sometimes you get something totally different. And your perspective can be, we're saying what we're saying, but there may be somebody that's going through or trying to understand something. So what we're saying may them or what they're seeing in the Bible may help them in a different way than it may help somebody else.
All right, so what Paul is trying to really teach us and show us is that as believers, we have been chosen by God and we are sealed until the day of redemption. But now it's up to us as to whether we want to go up or whether we want to go down.
Right.
That we can stay sealed or we can head on back out that envelope,
mm-hmm.
and get a little taste of the world and become a part of what the devil would have us to be. But see, understand that if God has chosen you, that means he selected you for a very special purpose. And if God chooses you, then that means that he's got something special lined up in your life. We talk about him having a plan for your life. Well, see, all of what we're going through now, all of what Paul went through, was helping to shape his life and help him to become the servant that God wanted him to be. And all of us are servants of the Lord. But we've got to, as you said, we've got to learn how to humble ourselves a little bit more because too many of us are too proud. We carry too much of that, you know, that nose up in the air that I'm all that and then some.
Right.
And as Christians, we can't act like that. You know, one of our members, Roscoe, would often say that, you know, we can be different without acting holier than thou.
Right.
And so to understand that and to understand what Paul was trying to say, we have been chosen by God. And to be chosen by him, it puts you in a very peculiar part. I mean, the Bible teaches us that we are a peculiar people. We are of a royal priesthood.
Right.
Now, if none of that signals and makes you feel good, then there's something wrong with you.
Right.
So then that means we don't have to prove anything to
anybody
except just to thank God and let him know I got what you're saying.
But sometimes we're more concerned about proving and impressing man than we are God,
mm-hmm.
who has saved us. We put in more imprudence on what man thinks and what man wants us to be than we do what the Lord wants us to be.
And the fact is, man has no heaven or hell to put us into.
Exactly.
And all man can do when we close our eyes is come to the funeral and say your goodbye.
That's right.
So get to that point then. It's a matter of growing and understanding. And that's why I keep going back to verse number 7 says that we have redemption through his blood. We have to keep that mindset. It's all about God. It's about what Jesus has done. The fact that God has chosen us and the fact that he wants to keep us, he could put us in a little bubble wrap. A big old bubble if he wanted to. But what would we gain from that?
Right.
Not too much.
Right,
so he puts us out there. He allows us to live in the world. And I tell folks, you can live in the world, but you don't have to live like the world.
Right.
So we can be what God wants us to be.
Right.
Which is holy and blameless before him.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have to be be like the world, but we should influence the world to be like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say be like us. I said we should influence the world to be like Christ by allowing them to see the Christ in us.
Amen. Well, it's getting towards that time.
The eighth verse says, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself.
So what does it mean? Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. How has God made known the mystery of his will to us? Or how is he showing us what his will is?
His grace.
Through.
The fact that he saved us. His will is for us to have eternal life.
And to be holy and blameless before him.
Right. That's what his will is.
According to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. We're going to stop right there. And when we come back on next week, God bless, we'll pick up where we left off. But we do want to thank all of those that have called in. Although we couldn't entertain any calls or get you on the line, we thank God for you being with us again. We pray that as you continue to go through the rest of this week, just keep in mind that God has chosen you for a very special purpose in this life. Your life is not being wasted. And if we get to a point where we really understand that, then maybe, just maybe, we would act a little differently, conduct ourselves in a much better way that the Lord would want, stop getting all upset, doing things that go contrary to his will.
Right.
To be chosen by God.
Right.
Ought to be an honor. Royal priesthood. We are a peculiar people.
Right.
If we keep that in mind, we'll be all right. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, O Lord, again for this evening. And Lord, although the enemy has tried again to put a damper on what we've attempted to do, Father, we give you all praise. We thank you, O Lord, even for Paul in their writing to the church at Ephesus. Lord, we thank you for reminding us that we have been chosen by you. Lord, you chose us a long time ago. Lord, you predestined us even before the foundations of the world relate. And Lord, when we think about our lives in that manner and in that fashion, that ought to help us to want to live a much better life in the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you right now for loving us unconditionally. We thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for every time we mess up, grace and mercy is right there to cover. Lord, we thank you for putting up with us. Lord, we thank you for enduring us. Lord, we thank you for helping us to understand. And Lord, we thank you for not getting mad when we turn our backs on you. Lord, we pray right now that you would help us, teach us to continue to number our days, but continue to be all that we can be for thee. Lord, we thank you for this Bible study. And even though we must be doing something right, the enemy continues to try to put a damper on it on Thursday evening.
Uh-huh.
But, Father, we rebuke him right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, O God, for that word continuing to go forth. Now, Lord, as we leave this place and we pray for those who have called them, we ask that you would bless them going and coming. And, Lord, help them to understand that they've been chosen by the best.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I pray that you would give them all that they're going to need on tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And, Father, we pray that as we leave the studio, that you would watch over us, that you would take us to our destination and find that all is well there. Lord, we pray that our homes are all at peace with you. And Lord, whatever your will is on tomorrow, we pray, O God, that you would awaken us and give us what we stand in need of. Father, we ask it all right now in the precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we do pray. Let the redeemed souls say amen.
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 Good night.